Good morning, everybody. Good fach. We're holding here in Perek Yud, and he's speaking over here about continuing to speak about the Kesha, about what makes a person in the world of Torah, in the world of Ruchnius, what makes a person b'zeichet chai olam. Okay. Kimoy shehoy shalom the adam beizet tzadisk adam atzach ruchnis adimitzes agashmius. Just like the people had this issue with how could it be that by doing physical mitzvahs, a person in some way zeichet to olam haba to ruchnis. That same type of questions kachem shalom alimud atayra mitzvah 70 kukeha. They ask about learning Torah in its full sense. And in learning the nyanim of niske shorvabar, nira bedaitom ki yosi atzliach kasha yasik binya yisoidis or musgal galam uschal nifradim. They feel it make a lot more sense if you learn in nyanim of Kabbalah. So if you're telling me that Torah is something that's mechabi to Rebbein Shalom, so then it should be the Torah that deals with Rebbein Shalom, that deals with ruchnistic beings. The nitty-gritty of Baba Kama should not be what brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. L'chein daitam katzachas adam asagas dvar me'elu. So they feel that learning philosophy is what makes closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'daitam bash oras ha'nefesh shenisha asech shekona adam b'chayav v'zeh shenisha acham avas. So this was a very, very common philosophic understanding, the Aristotle, and Aristotle actually, and it goes like this. This is the way they understood Chai Nitzchiyim. Let's say a person, when a person's thinking about certain inyanim that are Nitzchiyus, l'mashal, I'm thinking that a triangle has 180 degrees. That is a permanent, eternal fact. And when I think of it, my mind, the part that's thinking about it, becomes part of that understanding of how big a triangle is. And therefore, this stays forever. That was sort of the model of eternity. So when my mind grasps concepts that are eternal, that stays around, and therefore it's a certain time. That's the way a person remains eternal. That was more or less their thought process, and I guess understanding things that are more sublime makes your mind be dovuk in things that are more sublime, and so it's really they pictured it as a mental state, not a personal state. But something about the thoughts, the ideas, the understandings, that was more or less the way they understood it. The Atadai says, Ki noisav al davashu kfir gemurk mashispaya. Besides the fact this is real kfira, v'davashu liyispal adas klal v'gnezichadam, it's also highly illogical. I guess he wants to fight fire with fire. He doesn't want to just say that it's against the Emunah. He wants to say that it's something that is makes no sense whatsoever. They say that the chelik of the person that is understands that knows is there's one part of a person's mind that sort of acts as a kli kibul for whatever information goes in. So really, if you want to describe it as sharply as you can, basically you're saying that the person's mind is only a kliachana. So just like it's like a computer that you fed data in it, and the data remains permanent because you move the data from computer to computer. So that's not the computer, it's the data inside it. So Sach HaKol, you're telling me that these thoughts and ideas that your mind is Sach HaKol a platform for, they remain eternal. It's not even you. There's no way to clearly identify those ideas with the you. Okay, you're right. So it's just like modern day Epicurus who wants to be a from a modern day Epicurus. There's a whole stack of nuschos that go along this line of, you know, he certainly did not die because his legacy lives forever. His memory is eternal, and on and on and on and on. And it's another way of saying, yes, he's gone. But, there's some sort of memory, whatever it is. The same thing here also. You're telling me that the thoughts that I had in my mind about true thoughts, like a triangle has 180 degrees or something about the higher worlds, they remain forever. So it means I don't remain forever. It means the Seichel Nikner. So why not just chuck the whole thing and say, if I left over a house, so I left over something still exists, or certainly if I have kids and grandchildren. So why is that called the person remains when it's not the person himself? These thoughts and ideas are not the person himself. The idea that thoughts that were in my mind that are not really me are remain eternal, that's something that doesn't, it makes no sense whatsoever. The sentence itself is a fallacy. I am eternal because my thoughts remain eternal, and my thoughts are not really me, they say. It's information that came in from the outside. I sahakol am a kli kibul. Then really, it's a mashma dava daima. Imagine I have a computer, and back up the information on a key drive, and every time my computer goes kaput, I put it onto another computer. So I can say the information is eternal. I can't say the computer is eternal. I can't say this computer is eternal because every time it's going to break, some other computer will carry information that was on it. So that's really what I'm saying is a sleight of hand. What I mean to say is the information is eternal. So here also, yes, that a triangle is 100 degrees is eternal, but that was with me. So now it takes another argument. This is more of a philosophical argument that whenever we talk about the mikra means over here incidental. It's not the atzmius. It's something I happen to have thought about a triangle, as opposed to something being me itself. So when you're talking about existence, we would like to think about something that's essential to the person, essential meloshim essence, as opposed to something which is incidental to a person. And the word mikra here means incidental, as opposed to essential. So we're talking about something that, okay, I happen to have known, gotten some information. Big deal. So he says, it doesn't ring right that something which is really incidental to the person becomes his essence. You tell me the person with a capital P lasts forever. Why? Because some part of his self, which could or could not have been. So Lamosh, if I make a statement about Yankel is 6 foot tall. So I tend to see that as a correct statement describing the person, because you tend to remain that at the height and so on. But if I say Yankel is somebody with brown glasses, he happens to be wearing brown glasses, even if he never changes it, you're only defining something that's incidental to him, not something that the essence. These things are religiously wrong. Really, denied Kesem Esim. Why? And he has another argument. They're not saying this Kesem Esim. They're saying Manifshach. Those ideas are eternal. They last forever. They don't change forever. So they never died. They'll never come alive again. They are. Tchias HaMesim is something which ceased to exist for a while, comes back again. Now, it's true that they may, you know, there's an akud in a person that remains eternal, the luz or whatever, but the Tchias HaMesim is that the parts that were lost, gone, dead, come back to life again. Very poetic language not to listen to them. It's very interesting that, you know, it's an idea that for a long time people took to it. Today, this line of thought doesn't exist by anybody. Nobody is taken by it. Nobody has an insight with it. Nobody believes in it. It just doesn't exist anymore, except as some sort of curio. Once upon a time, this idea, like all false philosophies, it was very people very much were into it, and they felt it, and they lived it, and so on. So he writes very strongly. You know, I know it's very, very engaging, and you're going to get drawn into it. Stay away from it. Another thing which is common to the philosophers is that, so it's all about knowledge and understanding. Doing what's right and what's good is zero importance. And really, at the end of the day, it's what knowledge you possess. So therefore, he rejects it on many, many counts. He said, basically, there's no way to reconcile it with Yiddishkeit. It's total kefir and tchias ha-meisim, total kefir, you know, olam ha-mitzvahs, makes no sense whatsoever for any reasons and so on. Okay. Ukedilak ha-shoresh peresh v'lano, omen pekshen ha-shabbos. So he darshens here, so he's speaking, he's going back to his point, which is, how is learning about oxen goring each other bring a person to Chaim Nitzchiyim? And obviously, it's not enough to say, well, Hashem has like little carnival tickets. For every Mishnayis you learn about Peh, you get another piece of eternity. That's also a very, very mikradic approach. It's like the learning is not worth anything, Be'etzim. It's just carnival tickets. And that's obviously also a very, very, very shallow perception. So he's going to dash the Chazal here. Omru bepeik sheni b'shabes, omru shlokesh, maidach siv v'hoye emuna si techa chois nishruz chachmas v'das, emuna seda zroim, it techa zaseda moyed, chois zaseda noshim, yishruz zaseda nizikin, chachmas zaseda kotshim, v'das zaseda tais. Famous pasuk. V'afilohoch yiyos Hashem yitzorim. Mosh lodom oimel ashlucha haleli kur chitin l'aliyya, v'her l'aloy. Omale irafterim kur kaf chumtin, Amalei Lav, Amalei Mutav, Imloi Aleisa, Adkan. Very famous Gemara, and so on. Hine, Chachomim Zal B'Shisha Sidei Mishnah Chilku Kol HaMetzias. So they saw the entire Metzias. Mishnayis describes what's right and what's good about different Chalke Metzias. And Chazal divided into six parts. V'af Imnir La'odam Shein Dvorim Kalimoid. Even though it sounds like just kind of an asmacht of sorts, you know, Emunasi Techo, they took a pasuk with six phrases and divided up Mishnayos amongst it. Eina davakach. Umipnei shametzias bechlal nechal chalakim elo. So he says, first of all, the metzias is divided into three parts. Achelik echad is metzias gashmias. The second one is gashmi ubilti gashmi yachad. Ki ilohim murkav. Ashlisha Metzias Abultigashra. So fair enough, in the, you can divide the whole world in terms of Ruchnius and Gashmius into things that are Gashmius, things that are a mixture, and things that are called Ruchnius. B'chol chelek nechleshnai, echel karvesim and ashena madregen avdelis, and each madreg itself has a subdivision, again, based on its closest to Ruchnius or Gashmius. Ad shebezem shishchalokim. Lefikach ama emunas usei dezroim, v'yadua, ki sei dezroim hem sei dezmochi ha'aretz, So the first dag is the one that is most gashmi, most kosher to the earth, is Zroyim. Why is it called emuna in light what he said? Because things that are growing in the ground are extremely consistent. It's a very natural order, and consistency is its tendency, because it's not mishana any tafkid. K'moya adam shu neman, umash mafkid na b'riyas elov umachz elabolov. So nemanus means faithful in the sense that's consistent, it's always, and that's the same thing is true about the earth. Achelik ha'shem said ha'moyed, which is b'ashamayim, shemesh ve'reach ha'shem adem monim ha'moyedim, heim tzva ha'shamayim v'zeh achelik ha'sheni. So both of them, both Zroyim and Moed deal with phenomena that are physical phenomena. It's the Torah of growing stuff and the Torah of the celestial bodies. Both of them have in themselves regularity and, you know, consistency and so on. They're both part of nature, and yet, obviously, the Shemayim, the Gromi Shemayim, are more of a Ruchnistic in nature than the Aretz. You know, it's not, the Aretz to us is extremely physical and coarse. Things in Shemayim are up there, we see them, but we don't touch them, actually. Achelik ha'shlitsh say the Noshim, for yadua davazek ke'odom u'gashim etzad gufoy, u'bultigashas. So now he's going to speak about Noshim and Ezekin. Noshim and Ezekin are both somewhat more, in other words, the musig of Nesuin, of Ishus, and the musig of Masomaten, Mazik, that already has itself an element of a construct. In other words, marriage as such is, it deals with people, but it's a concept. Interaction with other people, chiyuvim, achrayis, and things of that nature, those are all conceptual. So they're somewhere between the two. And noshim, being the deal with noshim, is more chomri. And nezikin deals with things that are geared to men, more in the interaction of the world and business, so on, plus on hedge and things like that, only geared to men, are going to be the next step. So we call this Noshim, and therefore it's more chomri, and this is nezikin to everyone, and it's, there's a special dogish on zacha. K'vekama dvorim shem shechon legamri rak l'scharim, modayonim, edus, klal omru, ha'ishu bal masamaten, v'lo isha, usually it's the man who runs the business. Kachon ra'a senazal, v'lachain tzorech, v'kvekama dvorim, v'kama ribui sheti ish chavis v'nezikin. The one has to darshan a ribui that a woman is chayev v'mazik. Shomu ish the bar masamaten in, ish the bar masamaten, lo yikamashon. Because I would have thought that an ish who because he's more shy to business, the chiv on him, not an isha. Vima isha balas masamat v'miktas u'botei say ish shabal masamat v'yadua kana keva zoch beis adegas and hashavim kumar tzashmayim v'shemayim v'seh. Fine, same thing. Aretz is a makabel. The shemayim reigns on the aretz. Same relationship of zoch and keva. Finally, so Kotshim and Tyrus both are really Ruchnius. They're not, marriage is a concept it's a dimension, it's a conceptual dimension of a physical relationship. And same thing with Nezikin, responsibility, damages, and so on. Those are all concepts that deal with physicalities. Kachem and Tyrus are really, their whole metzias is ruchnis. There's no shaykhus, anything we can think of. This is already called chachma because it's purely conceptual. You don't call somebody who's an expert cobbler. You have to know a lot, but you don't call the person a chacham because it deals with shoes. Because it deals with things that are pure chachma. That the things in Kachem are doing Chachma, like it says, Kimotis the Shlichas Kachem, Tova Akshi. So there's a remez over there. Rashi says on it that, you know, you roy it to even be mefalpon in Kachem, and it's, Rashi says over there, it's a simen that it's very deep. I guess that's why brisk, they learn kachim. That's what it says. We say the tais nikra das, nikra amanu ke noy she nikra chachma rak lefi mash noy se chachma. The chen adas is oydeus madrega. Das is a deeper madrega than chachma. Sha das u mufsha the gamma yosim na chachma. The chen amru besach is brachas gdola deyash and the rebeis oysis Hashem. Tome ke kel deyash Hashem. The rotsu beza ki mi she yesh boi madrega sa das, which yesh adrega sa gamma Hashem is brach. So in the interplay of Chachma and Das, those are, Das is the stronger of the two, even though, you know, when you look at the spheres, it's lower, but there's an element of Das which is more Amrik. And it explains a little bit here. V'dobah ze yadua l'mishe deah hefresh sheyesh ben Chachma Das, ve'in ka makom ze. So he doesn't want to explain it much over here. The if you take a look, if you have the Hartman edition, he brings here his Lashon Derech Chaim. I'll sort of summarize a little bit what he says. There's an understanding that I know something about something. It's like when somebody teaches you something and you have the information down and you can describe it, you can talk about it, but don't really feel you have a handle on it. Then there's a time when you dehear the thing itself. So, Lamashal, if I tell you information about my friend Yankel, so, and you have a good memory, you remember it, and you know stuff, so it's fine. When you get to know him, you better feel that you understand it in a most fundamental way. So, Chachma is an understanding of something. Das is when you dehear it in the most fundamental way. So he says, the Taira is the hardest and deepest hasaga in Inyanim. V'davaze omer mekoymes harbei. Chazal said this, malach etz agodes, klach etz negoyim v'holos. So you see, when he wanted to tell him off and tell him that you should not be oisik nagadata, he wanted to tell him you should stick to the deepest parts of Nigla. The Moshe uses a goyim v'holos. Klach etz negoyim v'holos, like you're going out of negoyim v'holos, which is the most difficult part of Nigla, go there. Shadov is a moir kisele tayas and dramukim. Shatayru hu dover nivdol ve'ena inyan gashmi. Vatayri dover kweis baruch legami. So tayra is really something which is totally an inyan sikhli or ruchni or nivdol, the way he says. And therefore, some tayra, it means, tayra requires you being part of that mitzias of a person's ruchni. We'll see later. I'll explain a little bit more about the sinyan. V'lachach nikra idiyah b'zeh b'frat, Hushekana Madregas Hadas. Loy Mishekana Yediyah Bedavashu Madrega Lamata Mizeh. Ubazet Tedek Elu Beis Dvarim Shemachach Madas Gankwin Derech Harishin. Ki Hadas Yoyse Sichli Bedavashu Yedua Lamish Meivim Varim Elu Vehine Akosif Oilu Melamata Lamala Adashnaim Achronim Hem Chachma Vadas. Shneim Chachma Shetes Olsei Lizem Yisodin Shiz Sidrish Shad Dibru Chol Fevinitzis. So he describes it the way he described it. And we'll, for next time, we'll see what he speaks about Yiras Shamayim. That's his main point. And this is also about Dhammafit. I want to go back to Chachma Das a minute and give an explanation. There are the Rambam, when he speaks about Emunah, he speaks about Tzorach Leida, Das Hashem, we find others for him. The concept of Das and the Rambam using it as being the Chiyuv, which it's very hard in any way to define it. I mean, does Das mean I've proven the point? So I succeeded bringing a proof for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's one, that he exists, etc., etc. Is that Das? So all the kashas about, you know, how could that be a mitzvah? I think the Das has a different understanding, and I think it, if you think about it, this is in all this form, the use of the word Das it will mean this. Let's give an example. Let's go back to what I said before, and let's use an example. Imagine you are about to approach Yankel for a business deal. You're about to meet him or whatever. And I'm in charge of prepping you. Imagine you also have this phenomenal memory. So I'm a very, very good friend of Yankel already, 25 years. And I sit down with you and I give you every piece of information that I have about Yankel. Everything he's done in all the years I've met him. I give you his blood pressure charts, his cardiogram, every single piece of information about Yankel you have, and you know it all. You've memorized it. Then you meet Yankel. Is there a difference before you met him and after you met him? Not only did you meet him, you became acquainted with him, and you became buddies, and you do things together, and go places together. But you haven't had a single more bit of information than what I've given you. You know, I told you he doesn't like fish. Yes, when you go to a restaurant, he doesn't like fish. I told you he loves schmoozing. He can schmooze through the hours. Yes, he loves schmoozing. In your relationship with him, you have not picked up another bit of information about him. What changed? And we all feel there's a change, and a profound change. Let's take a parallel to it. So, by the way, as in the Lashon HaMikra, Mudainu is a friend, an acquaintance. Like Boaz, he's somebody we know. Even for Adam Yodas Chava, that phrase is used that way. Let's take one more example. A young person gets up and darshins. Fiery, you know, the whole world is havela volim. It's nonsense. The only thing that's worth in the world is ruchnis olam haba teira, etc., etc., etc. He's very sincere about it. He really means it. He's not a hypocrite. He mamish means it, and everything he says is from Chazal and Sfarim Akdashim and so on and so forth. The second person is somebody who lived. He's 85 years old, been through it all. Seen it all, heard it all, and been with people, so on. And he gets up and he says, everything is havel havolim. The only thing that makes a difference is Torah, mitzvahs, ma'aseh tovim, and so on. Assuming the first person has all the information, second person, assuming the first person researched it and he met with 100 Tzkenim that are 85 years old, and all of them thought back and said, no, things like that, and he's got the information. Which one makes a big impression? Obviously the second one, because he knows it. There's something about we don't have a word for it in English because we don't live it. So we don't have a word for that in English because we're not mechalik terribly well between chachma and das. Chachma is knowledge of information. Das is personal acquaintanceship. The word to be acquainted with something is probably the closest word. Where normally we say acquainted, we use it kind of in the light way. He's only mildly acquainted with it. But I'm talking about here, when you've had personal experience with something, you know it in a way that information alone, you can't know. And that's the difference between Chachma Das. The mitzvah emuna is not the proofs you bring, not the whatever else, not the stories about Hashgacha Pratis. It's when a person lives it through in a way that this is his metzias. It's baked into him. And the only way to do it is to go through life with a certain perspective. So if my eyes are wide open and I'm sensitive to what's happening, then every experience becomes a chelik of that. Doesn't need, it's not information, it's personal acquaintance of it. That's what the word das means. Okay, so we'll hold it here. This is half of the perek, more than half of the perek, but I'll put him. He's took this chazal. This is what the chazal that he wants to discuss, and he's gotten up to Yerushalayim. But his point, what he wants to bring from it, is about the Yerushalayim. Okay, any questions, points, whatever?
What Rabbi was saying, the same thing as Reel Ishmael?
What?
What Rabbi was saying about the difference in Chochma and Das, is that the same thing as Eina Reel Ishmael, the idea of experiential knowledge?
Correct, but Re'ia Klap, real experience is also not, you know, it's just like if I see somebody, you know, it's like a kid, you show him how to ride a bike, and then you say, okay, now feel it. Go and get a feel for it. So you're really talking about a difference. It's more tangible to you, more real to you. So it'll go from Shmia to Re'ia to Asiya to actually getting into it. You know, let's take the difference between hearing about somebody who's poor and doesn't have what to eat, seeing him hungry, and being hungry. Those are three different dargas in really understanding person's matziv. Even with all three, it would evoke rachmanis in you. But ain't a doma. Yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody who asked before, Benjamin, yeah?
I didn't catch why chaisin and yeshuais, what chaisin has to do with nashim and yeshuais to nezikin.
So I don't know. He doesn't exactly say, and I don't know. I don't know what his exact social is.
I'm wondering how does someone the Rashiva's definition between chachma and das and how it's neged to emuna.
Right.
How does someone oisik in the chachma of emuna without it being peged in the das?
So it's two things. First of all, without chachma, if you don't understand what you're experiencing, you miss the experience. La Marshall, a guy walks into a chasana. He's not going to be able to experience a lot of simcha because it's just a balagan. He doesn't understand who the chasan kal are and what ketushin is and what simcha. You know, without understanding what you're seeing and what you're experiencing, you miss out. It just passes through. It's minimal. It's just like a child. He misses a lot of the experiences. He'll experience it, but since he doesn't understand, those experiences don't really make that impact. Two, for a person who's more ruchni, then sichlius itself can become tangible, depending on the person. For some people, let's take an example, the morale. For some people, it's a sefer that gives them a very tangible sense. And for some people, it's philosophy kind of speaking up the air somewhere. It has nothing to do with helping somebody else in need. It has nothing to do with this and that. It's a person who's more ruchni, for a person who sits and learns, and that's his life, the sugyas are much more tangible entities, as opposed to somebody. For a person who's more of a chacham, the chacham itself is neiter to das, and you know, different people are different in that way.
When you have the Chorus of Ovisam, want everyone to learn Shar HaYichud, was that his intention that the person should build a kesher to Munin that way?
I'm not sure. Since we don't know who wrote the Chorus of Ovis, we do know it was a very early Sefer, and it could very well be that he wrote it because those are the arguments that people were wobbly in Amuna. You have to understand, in Spain, people's Amuna were shaky. People got very much into philosophy, and there was Chisare, and he felt that this would be a chizuk. I don't know. We don't know anything about Rabbi Bechaya, and it's a real problem. His contrast between Shai Yichud and Shai Bechina could very well be the same contrast, that Shai Yichud might be more proof on paper, a so-called logical argument that can be refuted. Shai Bechina is living it, and it has a lot bigger impact on you than Shai Yichud. So it could be that's the same relationship also. And people in those days, it was needed. People in those days were lacking, and that was the language of people in those days. People today, Yilun Shai Yichud, most people don't, most everybody, have a hard time just dealing with those arguments. Even if you're a Maimon, the arguments don't seem to sit well. They're kind of, okay, maybe this, maybe that. In those days, that was people thought that way, and that was the way people understood things. So he wrote it. Okay.
Okay. Well, what the Maharal is rejecting at the beginning of the Perek, the Shita that Das is the Iker, and that's what continues Achar Amavas. Is that the Shita of the Rambam when you say the Hatera Perek Dalet, or is that something different?
It can't be the Rambam Shita because the Rambam wrote a whole Mishnah Torah to follow, which doesn't deal with that. His own version, it's going to have to be that whatever it is, the Sichlis in Torah carries in itself a certain Nekuda, that's the Chibur. We'll see next week in Mitzvah Hashem. That's really the Nekuda. It's not, in as much as I understand Aristotle's version of Nitzchus was as follows. Once you learn laws of physics, philosophy of anything that are real and emes and Nitzchus, so in your mind, there's a piece of that information. That information doesn't die because the triangle is always 180 degrees. So here, you are Nitzchi. It kind of doesn't even sit with us. It just, we think differently. That's not the way, nobody in the world. The Epicurean today have a very different, they're not into triangles, they're into social justice, very different type of Epicurean. They more or less, it's always go with the legacy. The smile that made everybody feel good will shine forever. That's today's Nusach. But, so that's why they have a hard time. So the Rambam borrowed from, the Rambam understood that the mechanism of philosophy is right, the content of it is wrong. In other words, he uses like their terminology and their structure, but his teichah was a very different teichah. The Rebbein Shlom is there. It's a very personal God. I mean, Aristotle wasn't great as a personal God. It's a very, very different world.
Right. I mean, and I apologize to Rosh Shiva, discussed this at the beginning. I had a hard time connecting. But the Rambam does have that type of lashon, when you say the Atara, where he talks about that nefesh and tzura means the das, and even after death, that's what exists. But he means something different from
yes.
Maharal is rejecting.
He means something. He means the self, the nekuda pnimius of the person, which is not a physical entity. That is a ruach, what we would call neshama, nefesh, neshama, whatever, however he calls it. That's what he's talking about. Does not subscribe to that, you know, in any way. And he believes in a real tchesa meisim, and you know, the body gets up, and so on. But tachlis, he talks about there's a sense of self, but it's the self that understands rather than the self that's active in this world. But it's a self. It's a very clear self. Okay, good. Agut vach. Kol tov, good chodesh. Okay.